Father, would you prepare our hearts this morning? Would you allow our mind's eye to focus away from self and toward you? Lord, this morning as we celebrate the impulse to go on mission, to invest in others, Lord, we ask for the missionaries and those that are serving globally and locally. Lord, I'd ask for Young Life and The Bridge and New Hope and Living Hope and Escape from Poverty, that you would provide for their needs. Scripture says you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Resources are at your disposal, and we ask that you would bless, that you would expand the impact of their ministries. Lord, we ask for family and friends, individuals that have gone out of this body, Melanie Rogers, Brittany Renault, Kevin Kallenberger. Lord, we ask for them that you would encourage them this week. A word from you, a word from someone in your body, that you would give strength. And Father, we ask for those in other countries that we partner and support, come behind and pray for. I ask for Haiti, for Guatemala, for Burundi, for Central Asia, for Liberia, that you would be moving in mighty ways across the globe, that every tongue and tribe and nation would sing the praises of our Savior. It's in the great name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It was about a couple weeks back, Stacy, our missions director, sent me a text, and she said, "Hey, if things stay open, it looks like we may be going to Central Asia." She didn't put Central Asia. It's a country that we can't mention from the front. And I said, "Yes, let's go. I've been waiting. Let's go somewhere, anywhere." And then Tim, our resident missions guru, was on a text stream with us, chain, and he texted and he said, "Listen, when you go to this country, there may not be beds for you to sleep on." I was like, "Oh." I don't know if any of you remember before Christmas, but I confessed to one night binge shopping on Amazon Prime. Do you remember I brought this really neat air mattress? And then because I didn't want to collect stuff, right, I sent it back. Think I might get to buy it again. The Lord works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? You know, why go to Central Asia for Jesus? Why serve in a different neighborhood for Jesus? Why go down the street? Why take the time to walk next door and talk to my neighbor about Jesus? You know, I like comfortable. I'm going to go home and put on joggers when this service is over. I like the path of least resistance. I had to have Jody write this down for me. Here we go. Laissez les bon temps rouler. It's a little choppy, wasn't it? I'll work on it. Why leave? I mean, why risk starving when I leave Acadiana? This morning, I want to look with you at why should you and I bother to live on mission for Jesus? Whether it's in our neighborhoods, or in our community, or going to the ends of the earth. If you would, turn with me to Matthew 28, familiar passage. We're going to be in verse 16. I'm going to try something I've never tried. I also want you to look up Acts 1:8. So put your finger in Acts 1:8. It's behind the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to start in Matthew 28, 16. Two very familiar passages that we're going to put together. Why? Because last words matter. Last words matter. Matthew 28:16, we'll start there and then we'll flip over. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountains which Jesus had distinguished. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the age." All right, here we go. Flip over. Acts 1, and we're going to start in verse 7. He said to them, this is Jesus, "It is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they looked on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Why live a life on mission for Jesus? Living a life with mission gives us purpose. It gives us purpose beyond ourself or maybe our family, or we can put purpose on so many things, and yet Jesus calls us to live for something greater. In verse 19, where we'll focus, his disciples, his followers, and in the same way, you and I are commanded to make disciples. In this whole passage, there is only one imperative or one command, and it is make disciples. Disciples, followers of Jesus, replicate other followers of Jesus. If you think about it, they had followed him faithfully. Matthew 4:19, Jesus had shown up and said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And for 3 years, we see in the Gospels these individuals followed Jesus. They also worshiped him. We notice in verse 17, here they're seeing the resurrected Christ. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him. They had seen his miracles. They had worshiped him then and they worshiped him now. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." These individuals had done that. They knew that they were to love God and to love others. But Jesus gets even more specific here. It is not enough just to love God and to love others. What does it look like? It looks like to replicate, to make disciples, to point people to Jesus. There are three descriptors in this passage. They are participles if you're an English nut. They are going, baptizing, and teaching. This idea of going, it's not a haphazard going. I've heard it preached sometime just as you wander through life. That's wrong. That's not what the text says. The going is to move forward with purpose, with intentionality, to invest. The idea of baptizing is interesting here as well. The church has not been established yet. That happens in Acts, after Acts 1:8. So baptism here, when Jesus mentions it, he's looking both backwards and forwards. It would have tied into the baptism of John the Baptist, which would point to Jesus. And then when we come to the church, which Jesus knew he was going to establish, baptism, in some ways, is the public profession that you're going to become part of the body, that you are following Christ and that you are integrating in. You know, I think when we say that we want to become like Jesus, how we really want to become like Jesus is we want to stay at our house in our lazy boy recliner and watch TV and scroll Facebook or TikTok. And the place where you and I are going to become like Jesus is when we actually come here and we bump up against other individuals. And we go out there and we bump and we're like, ooh, not quite like Jesus. You and I don't get sanctified in a closet. That doesn't work. Jesus calls us to be both part of the body and to go out into our worlds. Going, baptizing, and then we come to teaching here in the text. It says teaching them to observe. We have a second all. There's two alls here. all the nations, teaching them all. This is more than just sharing the gospel. The good news that Christ died for sinners and that we can have a relationship with him if we place our faith in him, that is the starting point. It is the genesis. But to teach someone all, we got to roll our sleeves back and walk alongside them and troubleshoot in the moment. What does it look like here in my marriage? What does it look like here at work? What does it look like here? Jesus is specific. We are to make disciples. And he says to all nations. The word nations is ethne. It's where we get the word ethnic. I love Jesus just cuts right across racism. There are no boundaries with Jesus. It is all. This ethne is all tribes and all nations and all people. And if you and I are honest, what we tend to default to is people that look just like us. Jesus is like, go. Go. He's pushing on us. You know that we are to love our neighbor, don't we? We'll say that all day long, but when we see our neighbor in our mind's eye, what do we see? We see the guy that looks like us that lives right next door to us. You know, when Jesus talked about neighbor, what did he offer? Those that we would be uncomfortable with. He looked at his disciples and he said that a neighbor was the tax collector. The neighbor was the adulterer. The neighbor was the Samaritan who they didn't like. I was thinking about this last week and I was like, so we're supposed to love those who are different than us. I thought, should I go there? Why not? Those that have a different religion are our neighbors. Those who have a different sexual orientation are our neighbors. Those who have a different economic level are our neighbors. A different ethnicity are our neighbors. All right, here we go. If you're a Republican, a Democrat is your neighbor. Yeah. And if you're a Democrat, a Republican is your neighbor. Well, you guys got quiet. But see, that worked for my parents' generation. There would be like these two buckets. That world's gone. We now have the far right and the far left. We have the libertarian and the anarchist. Jesus would look at you and I and say, there's your neighbor. Go love them. The vaxxed and the unvaxxed. I couldn't resist. That's great. It's true. And we don't do well at it. How do I know? All you have to do is listen to yourself talk. We jaw about people that are different than us. Out of the overflow of the heart, your and my mouth speaks. All the nations, because God's heart is to bless all. It is to bless all. In Genesis 12, 1 to 3, God comes to Abraham and he says, through you, all the families of the world will be blessed. Then in Genesis 18, he says it again, all the nations will be blessed. And as if we didn't hear it enough in the first book, the Bible, in chapter 22, he says, all the people will be blessed. Why? Because God's heart is not only to relate, but to rescue and redeem. You see, God is a saving God who sends. In the Old Testament, he sent Israel. They were to be a light to the nations. How did they do? They didn't do well. Then God sent his son, John 3:16. Why does he come? To save and to seek that which is lost. And then he establishes his church when he leaves. And this body, his body, is to be a light to the world. We are to be different, but do not miss that you and I, as we sit here today, are called to the nations. It is not just us, it is an I. We're called to join in his mission, to reflect God's heart, to point others to Jesus, to make disciples, to replicate. And that takes a high level of intentionality and commitment. You know, there's really two lanes here. In some ways, here, we are attempting to make disciples. I was thinking about just the local church. You know, we share the gospel consistently from up front. We encourage and build up. We invest in each other. I think about the kids in the back. There are adults right now investing in the kids, you know, 1 to 5. You know what they're telling them? They're telling them one thing: God loves you. And they're pouring a foundation. You can move up into a crowd that's a little more squirrely. Those middle schoolers and I won't put high school in there. And you know, there are individuals here that are have been called. They are investing in the next generation. So that is happening here, but what about the rest of us? Are you and I investing in others intentionally to help them walk and come to know Jesus? This hasn't been rescinded. Where should we start? Do you need to go to Central Asia? You do not. You start with your neighbor. Your neighbor. Three things when you think of your neighbor. First, treat them kindly. We live in a world that is not kind. You will be different if you are kind. Second, show them love. Kind is nice, love is better. And we know the difference, don't we? Kind is convenient. You're just being polite. Love, you're walking an extra mile. You're stepping into someone else's shoes. Third, we cannot leave it just at kindness and love. That's the Beatles. We are to share the truth of Jesus. He is the only one who will save. Do you know where we begin? It's not that complex. We start with prayer. When was the last time you or I prayed for our neighbor? I promise you, we will struggle to be kind, love, and share Jesus if we are not praying for them. I woke up this morning and I'm new to the neighborhood. I am praying for neighbors by name. I want to talk about Jesus, not just be a good neighbor. One of my favorite theologians is Tim Keller. If you're familiar with him, he's actually dying of cancer. And they asked Tim in a podcast a couple weeks back, Tim, if you would have done anything in your ministry life, what would you have done different? And he didn't beat an eye. He said, I would have prayed more. That's not just for the professional. Why live a life on mission? Because it gives purpose, because God's heart is to bless, and because we're called to join in on his mission. But what is our mission? It is advancing the kingdom of Jesus to all. That sounds big to me. Is there a strategy for that? I'm glad you asked. Turn to Acts 1:8. There is. In Acts 1:8, we see that we are, that then they were to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. You know, how do we do that here at Trinity? We mirror that. As those that we partner with missions, we serve and we locally And then friends and family have gone broader, and then we go to the nations because we think Jesus' strategy is just fine. There are other things that we do intentional. First, we want to be relational to empower those that we minister with. We don't want to control it. We want others to lead and we push them forward. Second, we focus on a few. We celebrate all, but we focus on a few. And last, we want it to be sustainable. We don't want ministries to be dependent on just money or just a dynamic leader. We want them to have kingdom impact. One thing that is neat about Trinity, and I noticed this when I came here, Trinity has consistently invested in the lost and the least. If you just take our global partners, Haiti is the poorest country in our hemisphere. Burundi is the poorest country in Africa. Moldova is the poorest country in Europe. And the place in Central Asia that will not be named is also the poorest. If you would look at the ministries that we engage with here, it is the lost and the least that we are seeking. And this body has done that well and will continue to do so. But how can you and I go now? What is our Jerusalem and our Judea and the ends of the earth? I'll offer three things: your neighborhood, your networks, and the nations. It hasn't changed. And what can we do? First, you and I can pray. In your bulletin, we have every one of our partners. Imagine if everybody here just picked one and prayed for them this next year. What would God do? If you're not a bulletin person, it's on our website as well. Second thing is you can give. When you and I give to this body, 17 cents out of every dollar goes to missions. That's awesome. We hope it increases over the years. Would God grant that? Third, you can go. A story from my past. Be careful if anyone ever asks you to consider going on a missions trip, okay? If you tell me no, you go right onto my prayer list. And I keep coming back to you because I figured that's what I get paid for, right? Tell God maybe. Don't tell him no. If God calls you in a season to go far away, if he calls you to go to another neighborhood to serve, if he calls you to do anything, at least say maybe. It reflects God's heart. Everybody's going to be avoiding me in the hallway. I don't want to go to Central Asia. It's all right. It's a small team. Don't worry about it. You see, the other way is there are times when the Spirit will move you specifically. There have been individuals in this church that have been moved to raise funds to combat sex trafficking. There have been other things that have been done. When God taps on you and me, we go to all. We are blessed to be a blessing. Most we'll never go overseas. That's okay. Do you realize that Jesus in his ministry never left a 90-mile radius? Never. And every Cajun breathes a sigh of relief. I geeked out last night. I got on Google Maps. And I was like, how far is Judea from Jerusalem? I need some numbers here. It's 19 miles. So then I went crazy, and I Googled how far 19 miles that would be from Lafayette, okay? I had four names, and I was like, oh, I think I'm becoming Cajun. I butchered three of them in the first service. I was so proud of myself. First, if you go to the west, you've gone to rain. If you go to the north, Opelousas. Thank you. That was rough. If you go to the east, it's Brobridge, not Bowbridge, like I said in the first service. Actually, it's farther. Is there a Norton or a Hamilton? What is it right before? Henderson! They corrected me in first service. Didn't work. And if you go to the south, it's New Iberia. Think we can do that? That would be our Jerusalem and Judea. The need is not money. It has never been, and it will never be. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Resources exponentially are at his command. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Would you pray about where God would have you make disciples? That is loving God. That is loving your neighbor. In a word, you and I will never feel ready. We will always feel insufficient. And yet God takes us in our weaknesses, and he brings someone else that fits for a season. And there is no greater joy than walking with someone towards your Savior. The need hasn't changed. It is for laborers. And this morning, we're at the end of the service. In a minute or two, we're going to celebrate a neat happening. But I would challenge each of you to think bigger than the programs at Trinity when it comes to missions. Who are you investing in? Who is your neighbor? Is there someone you need to be kind to and go out of your way for Jesus' sake? Is there someone you need to serve and it'll cost you a little, but it means that you're loving well and you're reflecting Jesus? And do you have a pathway to share the truth of Christ's love, that he came and he died and he saved you and me? Maybe it's pulling your grill out this spring into your front drive while the kids are screaming in the back and throwing some boudin and sausage and walking next door and saying, "Hey, why don't you come on over here and eat something?" And maybe you would get to talk about Jesus. Where is your network? The world is here in Lafayette. We have the university, oil, and we have the poor and we have the least. We are to point, to share, to invest in, all for the sake of Christ.